Doing with me this morning is the book of Ruth, chapter number 3. Ruth chapter number 3. I'll begin my reading in verse 6. She went down under the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. And she came softly and uncovered his feet and lay her down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, "Who art thou?" She answered, "I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman." He said, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee. As the Lord liveth, lie down until the morning." Now, I want to preach for a little while, and some of you men here probably know a lot more about this than I do. I've never been to Bible college or anything. I'm not a real intelligent person, but I want to preach what I feel like the Lord has laid on my heart this morning. And I want to preach a little while on this covering of the skirt. And as I got to looking at this and got to doing some studying about this, I found that this covering, it speaks of a place of refuge and a place of safety and a place of security. And here, you know, if you look back at the story of Ruth, when she left her homeland and went there with Naomi to her homeland and said, "Your people will be my people, and where you lay your head, I'll lay my head, and your God will be my God." And you know, they didn't have a whole lot, and that's why Naomi told her, "You go down there to Boaz's field and you get the gleaning down there, and he'll take care of you." You know, and this is a destitute woman. This is someone who's lost everything in her life, and she needs some help, and she needs a place of refuge for herself. And her mother-in-law tells her, she says, "You go down there and you see this man, and he'll take care of you." Now, I don't know all the ins and outs of it. All I can tell you is that there's a time that comes in your life where you find yourself in the same place that Ruth found herself, and you find yourself destitute, and you find yourself in want, and you find yourself in need. And it's when the Lord comes by your way, and He starts to show you who you are, and He starts to bring you underneath conviction, and He starts to point out to you all the evil things that you've done, the wickedness of your heart, the blackness of yourself, and you find yourself as this destitute person, and you find yourself as one that's deserving of death. You find yourself as one deserving of hell, and you say, "Lord, all I can do is throw myself at your feet, just like Ruth did here with Boaz, and say, 'God, I'm asking for your mercy, and I'm asking for your refuge, and I'm asking for your covering. And Lord, if you'll just show me some mercy, and you'll just cover your skirt over me, God, all will be well.'" And that's what she's saying here to Boaz. She's saying, "I ain't got nothing of myself. I've never had anything. But if you'll just cover your skirt over me, everything will be all right." See, I don't know all the ins and outs of it, but I can tell you what happened to me one day. On June the 11th, 2015, I got to hearing a preacher preaching about how it's real. And God started speaking to my heart and saying, "Son, what you got ain't real. You got a counterfeit. You got the fake thing. You've been nothing but a hypocrite." And I remember that night I pulled the truck over to the side of the road. And I said, "Lord, if you'll just cover me with your skirt, that's all that I need. I don't deserve it, God." Listen, Ruth, she didn't deserve those handfuls of mercy that was dumped out on her. She didn't deserve those handfuls of purpose. But I see in my life where God started throwing out handfuls of long-sufferingness. He started throwing out handfuls of forbearance. He started throwing out handfuls of grace. He started throwing out handfuls of mercy. And He made me desire Him. That's the reason why Ruth was so desirous of Boaz, because Boaz had done showed her the good things of himself. She knew that when she got down there to him, everything that Naomi told her was going to be true because she had seen it for herself. Listen, we witness and we testify and we tell you things, but until God reveals it unto you, our witnessing and our testifying ain't going to do you nothing. Like Paul said, who am I and who is Apollos, but one that plants and the other one that waters? It's God that gives the increase, and if it ain't for God giving the increase, we can preach till we're blue in the face. We can tell you all the good things God's done for us, but until you see it for yourself, you're never going to go to the feet of the Lord and get what you need from Him. Just like that old woman that heard Jesus say that day, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And she saw something in Jesus, and she said, I know that when I go to Him and I give Him what is me, that He's going to take care of me. I'm talking about that woman that poured the alabaster box over His feet and wiped them with the hairs of her head and washed them with her tears. I believe that she was there that day when Jesus said that, come unto me all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And she heard Him say it, but she didn't just hear it. She saw it in His eyes, and she knew that when she got to Him, she'd get what she needed.
Yeah.
I see another thing here too that goes on up here in the other parts of the verse where He says, howbeit that there is a kinsman nearer than I. Now, I could be wrong on this, but what I believe the Lord showed me on that was that's the Father. And Boaz here is a representation of the Son. And he's saying here to Ruth, he's saying there's one that's higher than I. There's the Father. And I'm going to have to go to Him. And I'm going to have to make sure that I can do for you what needs to be done for you. But this is the way that the Lord works and the Father works. See, they're one. And all that the Father giveth to the Son shall come to Him. And he that cometh to Him, he'll in no wise cast out. Look, Boaz, he was just a man. But when it's all set up in the things of God, the Son says, I'm going to take you to the Father. And I know that when I take you to the Father, the Father's going to say, He's yours. I've done giving Him to you. He's as good as redeemed. And the Son's going to come back and He's going to say, it's all taken care of because of what I did at Calvary. He says, for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross, despising the shame. He took our sin to the Father. He became our intercessor. That which stands in the middle, that which stands between, that's exactly what Boaz was to Ruth. He was that intercessor for her, that near kinsman, that redeemer that she needed. And He's a picture there of the Son and the picture of the Father. And He says, I'm going to go to the Father and I'm going to take you before Him. And the Father's going to say, He's yours. You can go ahead. You can redeem Him. You can take care of Him. Do with Him what you want. I've done giving Him to you.
Amen.
And the Son said to the Father one time, all that you've given me, I ain't lost to one. I don't know about this crowd that thinks you can lose your salvation, but thanks be to God, brother, the day He saved me, He ain't never lost me. I may have done some things I ain't proud of since I've been saved, but God ain't lost me.
Right.
I don't understand how you can lose something though that's undefiled and incorruptible and that fadeth not away, according to what Peter said, and it's laid up in heaven for us. One thing that went on after Ruth got taken up by Boaz and married him, she never departed from him, did she? I tell you, one day I got married to the Lord, brother, like you was talking about this morning, and He kissed me with the kisses of His mouth, and I found out His love was better than any love I had ever known.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That day that I got down there to the feet of Jesus. See, one thing we find about herself too, she humbles herself. That's why she's at His feet. She's at that place of power. If I'm not mistaken, it talks there in the book about how His feet were brass. Brass speaks of judgment. It speaks of power. And she got down there where all His judgment was, all His power was. And she humbled herself underneath of His judgment. And she brought herself down to that place where she abased herself and brought herself down low. Even talks about herself low. She says, I'm just a handmaid. It reminds me of old Mephibosheth, where he comes in and says, your servant. What in the world was old Mephibosheth going to do for David when he was lame on both his feet? And the same way with Ruth. She says, I ain't got no money to give you. I ain't got nothing to give you that's good. I ain't got no works to give you. All I got is myself, and I'm just laying myself down at you. I'm laying myself at your judgment. I'm laying myself at your power, and you take care of me.
Yes, sir.
Do for me what you see right in your own eyes. Amen. Man, I'll tell you, the day that I got to God, it wasn't about bartering with Him. It wasn't about bargaining with Him. I said, Lord, you do what's right in your own eyes. He said, well, did you say that with your mouth? No, but I said it with my heart.
Yeah.
The only thing that I said with my mouth that night was, you're right, God. I agreed with God. God told me I was a liar.
Yeah.
I said, you're right. That's the only thing I remember saying with my mouth. But I'll tell you what I said with my heart was a whole lot more than that.
Yeah.
Boy, my heart started crying out. My heart started pouring out everything that I ever was to Him. My heart laid myself down to His feet. My heart bowed myself down to His Lordship. My heart bowed myself down to His judgment. I said, Lord, You do for me whatever You see right in Your own eyes. If You choose to save me, then I'll serve You for the rest of my life. If You don't choose to save me, then I guess I'm just going to have to die and go to hell. But You do whatever's right in Your eyes. And the Lord said, you know what? I never wanted to send you to hell. I wanted to save you all this time, but I needed you to surrender like you did. And He saved me that night. God don't want to send you off to hell. He says God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Ruth, man, Boaz, he had his eyes on Ruth the whole time, didn't he? As soon as he seen her, he said, who's that girl over there? Go over there and drop handfuls of purpose. Boy, we heard it just yesterday morning, didn't we, about Jeremiah. He said, before I formed thee in thy mother's womb. Well, I think God saw me afar off. And He said, I know that boy right there. And one day I'm going to save him. One day I'm going to call him to preach. One day I'm going to use him. I don't know if God's used me too much yet, but I think He's going to someday. He saw me afar off. Just like old Boaz did Ruth. That's why Boaz was ready to do for Ruth what she needed that night. He already loved her. As a matter of fact, I think he loved Ruth before Ruth ever loved Boaz.
No doubt about that.
Isn't that the same way it is with God and us? God loves us before we ever loved Him. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. And that's what the old songwriter said, isn't it? I mean, before I ever knew God, before I ever knew His name, before I ever knew who He was, He already had set His affections on me. He had already loved me. He said, I'm going to put Him in a good family, and I'm going to start putting these handfuls of purpose all along His way so that one day He'll bow down to my feet and I'll save His soul.
That's right, man.
I don't, like I say, I don't know much, but I know what the Lord did for me. That's all I can really testify to. My people tell me all the time, they say, every time you preach, you're always giving your testimony. I say, because that's all I know. I just know what God did for me.
Amen.
I ain't no theologian or anything. I don't know a whole lot, but I know what God did for me.
Amen.
And I know it lines up with the book. I can show you what God did for me out of the book.
Yeah.
I worry about some of these people sometimes. They say they got saved and they can't tell you how they got saved. It don't line up with the book at all. Well, how'd you get saved? Well, I signed a card. Well, I didn't know God was going to sign the cards. My name got signed up in heaven, but it wasn't me that wrote it down. It was somebody else. I didn't know God was in all that stuff. Well, I said that little prayer, you know. Well, I didn't know the Lord was in prayers. What in the world did that woman that came to Him that day say to Him? She didn't say nothing, did she? She just cried and just started wiping His feet with the hairs of her head. I like what old Brother Massey said down there. He was at Brother Jenkins meeting. He said she put her glory over on Him. I'd never heard it that way before, but man, I thought that was good. She put her glory, all her glory, over onto God and said, my glory ain't my own no more. Now it belongs to You. You got all the glory now. But what did she say? Oh, in her heart, I'm sure she was saying a whole lot. Well, in her mouth, she didn't say nothing. What did Ruth say, though? She was an admittance of servitude. And isn't that what we're supposed to be? See, that's like people say all the time, I don't understand this lordship salvation. Well, what? You didn't bow down to the lordship of Christ? When you got saved, you didn't bow down underneath His authority? I feel sorry for you then. I think you've got a plug nickel.
You're right.
Man, I'll tell you what, Ruth, she bowed down to it.
Yes,
she said, I'm laying it all at Your feet. And if You see it right in Your own eyes, You do it to me.
Right.
Boaz, he didn't have no argument. The only thing he said is, look, I got to take this to the Father first. I got to take this to the nearer kinsman than I. Oh, but I'm going to tell you something. When I get to Him, I already know what He's going to say. Now, Boaz didn't say that, did he? No, Boaz said, we're going to see what He says. And if He says He's not going to take care of you, then I'll take care of you. But it ain't that way with the Son. He already knows what He's going to say. And it happens so fast, He takes that word to the Father and comes back to you in the blink of an eye. I mean, it happens so quick. That's why they say saved and not saving. Because it happens so fast in the past tense.
Right. That's right.
They say, I'm going fishing. Why? Because you ain't catching nothing unless you do. You don't know, though. But the day I got saved, I got saved.
Yeah.
I wasn't being saved. It wasn't a saving. I got saved. It wasn't progressive. Now, God brought me through some things to bring me to that place of salvation. But my salvation wasn't progressive. I didn't just one day walk into it and say, oh, this is what happened back here. Now, I knew what happened the day it happened.
Amen. Yeah. Yes,
Him.
That's right.
I got so happy that day. I was driving a tractor trailer from Mattress Warehouse. I was on my way down to Raleigh, North Carolina to drop off a trailer and pick up another one. And I got down there that morning. I ended up being a little bit late because God had me pull that truck over and get saved. And I got down there and I apologized to Him. I said, I'm sorry I'm late, but I'm not sorry I'm late. Let me tell you what happened to me. And I got to tell them about what the Lord did for me that night, and none of them understood what the word I was talking about, but I didn't care. I said, tell somebody. I mean, it was good. Lord had me pull that truck over. But He covered me that night with His scope.
Good. Good.
He covered me with His blood.
Yes, sir.
He plunged me in His blood.
Yes.
He took care of me. And He's still taking care of me.
Yeah.
And He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you.
Amen.
There's some times when we turn our back on God a little bit. Get a little bit out of His will.
Yeah.
But He said, I ain't never going to leave you.
Right.
I'm never going to forsake you. I believe Boaz was the same way with Ruth.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? I'm just going to love you. I'm going to love you with an everlasting love.
Right, God.
You need that covering this morning?
Yeah.
Are you here today without the Lord and need a covering from God?
Yeah.
I'll tell you one way, the only way you're going to get it is to bow yourself down underneath His authority.
Amen.
Bow yourself down to Him.
Yeah.
You say, well, what about repentance? All that will be there. Don't worry about that. I think in today's day and age, people worry so much about what they're going to do and what they're going to say and how they're going to come to God. God said, just come to me.
Sure. Come.
Now, look, there is a requirement. You're going to have to know you're a sinner. You're going to have to know you're lost. You're going to have to know your need of Him. But if God's done showed you all that and He's calling you, what's stopping you from coming to Him? I've seen it more and more in this day and age than... You know, I grew up in church. I grew up in good camp meetings, good revivals. And I used to see people move on God. I mean, strong. Seems like today, people have gotten lazy. They're comfortable with being lost. Ruth was not comfortable in her predicament. When Naomi said, this is what you're going to have to do, I don't find Ruth waiting around till the next day. I don't find Ruth waiting around at all. Matter of fact, the only time she was waiting was when she saw him eating and drinking, and she said, I'm going to wait till the right time to approach him.
Yes.
But when the Lord calls on you, that's the right time to approach Him. When He says, come unto me, that's the right time to go.
Yes.
No sense in waiting around. No sense in being lazy. Don't put it off till tomorrow.
Right.
Ruth was ready, man. She got there. I can show you case after case of it. Man, old Zacchaeus, he didn't say, well, I'll wait till he comes back to Jericho another time. Maybe there won't be as big a crowd and I'll be able to see him this time. No, he went and climbed up in a sycamore tree so he could see him. That woman with the issue of blood, she may not have had too much strength. She had to crawl to him, but she said, I'm going to get there one way or another. I ain't waiting around. What if Ruth wouldn't have gone to him that night? Maybe we wouldn't have this story in this Bible the way that we do. You need a covering from God. You better get to God while the getting's good. You say, well, what are you talking about? There's going to come a day. The Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. And He's going to shut the door of salvation. You believe that, don't you? I believe my Bible says that. Today's the day of salvation. Ruth's day came the day that she went to God. Or the day she went to Boaz. I got so much in the representation of the Lord, I done messed up. She went to Boaz. She got what she needed. What's holding you back from getting to the Lord? That's all I got this morning, brother. Really.